You guys. This next one that we're on is, it's very interesting, honestly. I'm not going to lie to you. Right now, we're coming against depression and lack and scarcity. Mighty name of Jesus. Because at the name of Jesus, everything must bow. Every knee must bow and every tongue will confess. And nothing and no one can stand against Jesus. Hallelujah. Not even the devil that thinks he's all big and bad. Like, he's really not. It's nobody. Complete nobody. Faced with eternal doom. At the end of it all, that man is destined for hell. Literally, it is in hell he will burn and stay and be in forever and ever and ever. There is literally no end to his doom. Praise the Lord. Anywho, glory. Y'all, this one is deep. Because, glory be to God, I've been delivered from my depression after struggling with it for a good amount of years, honestly. And I can definitely say that there are times where I feel the devil testing my healing. And it's just like, you can't get to me. You literally cannot. It is definitely not possible because the God I serve is not letting it. You feel me? So, testimony, the title, what's up? Like, what really is contentment? And why are you yelling at me to stop looking for what I don't have? My brethren. If only we really understood what it meant to be still and content and grateful. Truly and genuinely grateful for the things that we have right now. We wouldn't ever perceive any season as lack. Because when we really look at it, Jesus is really all we need. And we already have him. He died for us. And he rose again, that we may be able to live according to the Spirit and conquer the flesh. And he conquered the grave and he conquered death. Meaning that the one thing everybody really truly feared has been overcome. So therefore, there's really no fear of anything else besides the fear of God. Hallelujah. Devil kept trying to have me tongue-tied back there. We're not, ayo, listen. God's going to get the glory each and every time. Hallelujah. And that's a fact, right? That's a fact. And that's my personal testimony. God will. He has been. And he's going to continue getting the glory every time. Glory be to God. All right, guys, I have a specific question. If you don't ever get more than you have right now, will you be all right? Will you still be joyful? And will you still praise God as if you have all the things that you've ever desired in this whole wide world? Realize that if you said yes, then glory be to God. And if you said no, then we need to let God do some more work in us. You feel me? And shape our outlook. Because, look, it is very much okay to want improvement, to want growth, and to want progression. Positive progression, transformation, and all these things. It is very much okay to want these things, right? The problem lies in wanting it all materialistically without the wisdom for it. If God were to drop down all the blessings he had for you right now, are you 1,000%? Let me rephrase that. Am I 1,000% that I am able and capable to handle it, to deal with it? personally, I feel say yes, so I sabi talk yes. Because like at the end of the day, the times I thought I was ready, times I felt like I had been ready, I was like, all right, bet, here you go, let's see how you deal with that. You feel me? So today, in this day and age, I can talk yes, so because I remember when I thought that I was, and I really hadn't been. Because when I look at the things that I ended up doing, not because I'm thinking of how I could have done things better, it's for me to learn, for me to see, and for me to learn, and to remember that God's timing is forever best. And I really truly have no say when he says things are going to happen. You feel me? It's just a matter of trusting and believing him for it. And honestly, the work he's doing while we're waiting to receive, right, is really him building us up in him. Glory. It's not for anybody else to look at you and say, oh, this and that and that. It's for you to look at yourself and be able to say, I fully and truly trust in God. And I trust and I know for a fact that everything he is doing, no matter what it looks like in the physical, it's all working out for my good. Because I know that I love the Lord. And I know that my Lord God Almighty knows that I love him. Right? So let's get into it. Siba, if I were to drop $75,000 in the hands of someone who had no financial literacy whatsoever, they couldn't budget, they had no goals in mind, no dreams and aspirations to like improve their life or a financial plan, the money would just, it would be gone in the blink of an eye. Check this. They would get a place to stay, get a vehicle, you know, the thing is, they would get things that they feel would help them feel happier and be better and feel better. And that is not a strategy. That's just trying to fill a void, trying to fill a hole, trying to fix a feeling that really and truly only God is able to, and only God will, and only God can. You feel me? Because, look, we can't do it by ourselves, and we need him, right? So that 75K, it would simply be gone. Blink of an eye. Even though now they have a roof over their head, you know, they would be smart enough to at least pay up their living situation for a good amount, or they could rent a home to live, like rent a home to buy type thing. And they would pay it off for a good amount, for a year, maybe 3-4 years, take care of their pending bills and healthcare and or legal fees. Nonetheless, though, they wouldn't know how to double that or triple that or even get at least a quarter of that back through godly, pure, and honest means, right? Because anybody can go into stripping and make like triple that in 2 years, if not more. I don't know how much is in the stripping business. I'm not interested. I've been delivered. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, when it comes to looking at the things we feel as though we don't have, because need I remind you, everything that we want and need is already in Christ. It's literally in the palms of God. He's literally holding it in his palms. And he's like, he's not holding it over you like, hey, hey, peekaboo, peekaboo. No, he's like, yo, I really need to give this to you. I want to give this to you. Everything I have in here, this is all for you. And I just need you to be able to properly take care of it. I just need to be able. We think we have trust issues. Brother, sister, God is really the person that should have trust issues. Because we personally, can't look at God and be like, oh God, I can't really trust you for this or about this. That man is probably sitting there looking at us like, but every time I dropped something, you kind of, he's not even looking at you, condemning you about it. He's just like, I can imagine the look on God's face. He's like, you have to be kidding me right now. Like, what the heck, bro? Are you really serious right now? It's funny. It's funny, honestly, right? So it's just like, yes, that's why the work he's doing in us while we're waiting to receive the things that he has for us, is so we will be able to properly take care of it and like bless it. He's going to bless us and our hands to help multiply it and for it to be fruitful. You feel me? Because listen, God will always keep us focused and busy. And we have to also be willing to stay focused and busy. Focused on him and busy in his kingdom. You feel me? All right. So check this, right? Let's talk about these Bible verses real quick, right? There are a couple verses I want us to look at. And the first one I want us to look at is Psalms 34. Psalms 34, verse 10, right? And it reads, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing, right? Now, y'all, when I tell you, just really think about this verse. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. What does that mean? It means that when we seek God first, when we focus on God and his kingdom, all the things that we think we want and need, and all the things that we desire, mind you, first of all, the desire for those things is replaced with the desire for seeking and facing God truly, right? And all of a sudden, blessings, mercy, hallelujah, all of a sudden he begins blessing us with all those things. I'm telling you, to the point that you even forget that you wanted some of these things, that you forget and you let it go because you have let go and you have let God, and what you are seeking after now is truly him and his kingdom, getting to know him deeper, strengthening that relationship, right? Walking in our authority and our relationship with him and knowledge of him, because seek and ye shall find, ask and ye shall be given. I urge us to seek to get to know the Lord deeper than deep gets, deeper than our physical and worldly definition and understanding of what it means to know someone deeply. And then, right, let's take a look at 1 Peter 5:7. In 1 Peter 5:7, we are told to cast our cares on him, for we're told to cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. See, before we get into that real quick, right, let's look at the definition of depression. Right? Depression is feelings of severe despondency and dejection. A mental condition characterized by feelings of severe despondency and dejection, typically also with feelings of inadequacy and guilt. Right? Now, mercy. Let's look up the definition of despondency. To be despondent is to be low in spirit from loss of hope or courage. And there's one particular verse. Well, not one verse. There's one particular chapter in Joshua 1. God tells us to be strong and of good courage. And when it comes to lack, right? Lack is the business of the devil. He works in lack. In the sense that, like, he needs you to see or focus on the things that you lack physically, right? And then from that comes desperation. And when you are desperate, you're no longer looking to do things God's way, right? And it is such a terrible thing to work in desperation, because God knows everything we want, need, and desire. And he said it in his word that if he looks out for the sparrows that don't sow, neither do they reap, he feeds them, and he clothes the lilies of the valley. How much more so will he clothe you and feed you, his own child, made in his very image? You are made in the image of God. You have God in you. You are of God, mercy. And granted, sometimes you may think less of yourself. That's only because you've gotten used to yourself and you're not looking to see yourself from another perspective, which is the perspective of the One Most High that created you. Because when you decide that you're going to look at things, you're going to look at yourself from God's perspective, mercy. It doesn't even matter what anybody else has to say about it, especially the devil, the number one chief commander, operator in condemnation and deceit. Right? Mercy. And so, in 1 Peter 5:7, we're instructed to cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. That is to alleviate the depression and the lack of hope. Because when you give it to God, the sovereign one, when you give it to him, do you know who you just handed everything to? Yo, like, I'm telling you, in the blink of an eye, everything will disappear. Right? You let him have it. You cast it at his feet. You're like, Lord, I don't know. I don't need to deal with this right now. I can't deal with it at all, actually. I need you to handle it. Lord, I'm giving it to you. Let me, fill me up with things that are of you. Let me, fill me up with the desire for you and our relationship. Bless me with the fire in my soul and in my heart. Let me, have me burn. Set me on fire, Lord, for you and your kingdom, Lord, and only you. And I'm telling you, like, every time something pops in your head for you to worry about or ruminate over or start obsessing over, I just give it to God, because your focus is on him and his kingdom. And that's how you build. That's one of the ways you build that relationship, because you trust. Because you are trusting that he will. And he already has dealt with it, right? It's just a matter of you aligning with him in the spiritual and in the physical. Hallelujah, right? So now we go on to our next chapter, to our next book. Let's go to the book of Matthew. We're going to look at Matthew 11, verse 28. And it reads, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When you give all your cares to God, all your worries, anything and everything in your heart and on your mind, when you give it to God, when you go to him with it, he releases into you and upon you his peace, and you feel light. Right? No more are you worried about this, that, or Jesse from down the block. You're not worried about anybody or anything. Not even that assignment that you have to do that is due tomorrow. Because, like, at the end of the day, you're just like, that does not mean do not be active. Being active is a part of moving in God. Like, you have to actively, because, listen, it says that man plans and God laughs. Because a lot of the times, the things that we're planning and the way we plan on moving, we haven't gone to God first and asked for direction and, you know, set him as the foundation and set him as the pavement on which we walk, the foundation on which we're building. And it also says in his word that the builders build in vain. Mercy, hallelujah. Y'all, it says in his word that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Because God wants us to be solely dependent on him. And I personally have had a history of being hyper independent. Like, I don't want anybody doing anything for me, because I can't trust that it's genuine. Or I end up not trusting that it's genuine, because I've had a history of people doing things and then somehow, some way, it comes back around and yeah, it's just not what, you know, it's those type of things, you feel me? So I end up having severe trust issues. And when people are able to affect you in such a way as this, right? It can have a serious effect on your relationship with God. And I kid you not, if had I only had a little bit more discernment, I probably would have picked up that it wasn't from God or of God, right? But nonetheless, though, be rest assured that there is nothing that the devil can send or do that hasn't been approved by God, because he's going to let it, he's going to have it be used for his glory in the end. At the end of everything, God will be glorified through it. It doesn't matter. And when he approves, when he lets the devil do these things and act all wild and all this, he's just laughing at him, really. Really, truly laughing, because it's like, little do you know what I'm really about to do. You feel me? Like, he's just so amazing. So now, from there, we're going to go look at Philippians 4:7, right? And in Philippians 4:7, it reads that, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ. Because now you've casted your cares on him. You have gone to him with the things that make you weary and tired and worry and anxious. You've given it to him. And now his release, he's given unto you the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, which will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Meaning that these things cannot come back and worry you. These things cannot make do a 180 and come back and disturb you. If you were to ever be faced with such a situation as this ever again, it will not bring up in you, that it will not raise your blood pressure. You will not be having hypertension, because you've already given it to God. And everything that has been given to God has been taken care of. And we are just being worked on to be able to endure and persevere. Hallelujah. Because by him and through him, all things are made possible. meaning that is that there is nothing you cannot endure. There is nothing that you are faced with. There is no challenge that you are faced with that you cannot overcome, that you will not overcome through the power of Jesus Christ, through his spirit which lives in you. And all that goes to say, when you do all that and he gives you that peace, what is depression? Who is depressed? What? They're talking about the crevices in your spine or something? Because that's the only type of depression I know. Mercy. What are they talking about? Man, bind up and cast out that spirit of depression, because we have been given the spirit of, we have been given the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Meaning that when these things or people think they can trouble us and bring about a certain response, God is like, yo, you see that? Like, I really did that. God is looking, he's like, yo, I really did that, because like, you don't even act how they really think you're about to be acting. You feel me? Like, glory be to God. And so from there, the devil tries to hit you with lack. Oh, look at what you don't have. Oh, look at your space. You have this, but you don't have this. You have this, but you don't have that. But shut up, bro. Be silent. Because the God that I serve supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. So everything that I desire and want and need, I have in him. Because all I really need, for real, is him. So that lack is completely blotted out. That lack is completely gone. Because Jesus was poor, so through him you could be made rich. Brother, you have the guap. You're wealthy. You're sipping tea from that nice little teacup. You feel me? With your macaroons. I don't even like macaroons for real, but there's somebody out here that likes macaroons. I guess that's why I said it. Yeah, there's somebody out here that likes macaroons. I then go off. And so when it comes to lack, right? Let's talk about it. Let's go to Psalms 34:10. Right? In Psalms 34:10, where it said, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. It's because our God is the great provider. Jireh. He is enough. In him we lack no good thing, right? And in Psalms 23, it says, for goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Because who is our shepherd? Listen, the Lord Jesus is our shepherd. He leads us through still waters. And so, while we keep our focus on him and in him, the devil has no entryway to get us to look aside. Keeping our focus, meaning you're direct, as opposed to looking aside. Mercy, hallelujah. And when you keep your focus in God and on God, I promise you, there is no room for anything else to be planted like the seed of envy. You're not looking. You're not comparing. The seed of comparison, it's not there. Seed of jealousy, it's not there. It can't happen. Because everything you have, want, and need, and desire is in Christ, the solid rock on which we stand. Now let's take a look at Proverbs 28:27. Proverbs 28, verse 27, right? And it reads, he who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. What does that mean, right? Put a pin in that, because I believe it's in, let me go take a look. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians 8, right? From From verses 13, it says, "For I do not mean that others should be eased and you be burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack." Mercy. Mercy. Your abundance may supply their lack. Now let's go back to Proverbs 28:27. Which says, "He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses." Because we are instructed in the New Testament, right? Glory be to God. We're instructed in the New Testament that, not even an instruction per se necessarily, but, you know, we're just told that we should give. Because by an equality that now, at this time, your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be an equality. Because mind you, there is no person greater than the other. Believe it or not, because we are not God. We have God in us. And God would not want for any one of us to lack anything good. Right? So when he blesses, mercy. Listen, when you are blessed with generational wealth, right? When you are blessed with wealth, mercy, and you are blessed with ways to multiply that wealth to the point that it is more than enough for just you, you're able to pass down that wealth to through your bloodline. And that is how you come up with generational wealth, right? Glory be to God. Now, the generations to come from you and after you will lack no good thing. And if we that are wicked know how to give good things to our children, how much more God the Almighty? Are you listening? Because look, we have millionaires and billionaires. We have Jeff Bezos. We have, what's the name of this dude? Bill Gates. Oh, glory be to God. I almost saw Bill Clinton. Bill Gates, right? These people have a surplus amount of wealth. I'm talking like their kids, grandkids, great grandkids, great, 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 great grandkids are definitely set for life, right? Nonetheless, though, they're still trying to acquire more wealth, more than they need. And they have more than enough to the point that they could bless multiple people. I'm telling you that there is such an amount of wealth in the hands of these people that God can, that mercy, hallelujah, that it is able to resolve the issue of homelessness in the United States alone, to the point where these people, these homeless people, can live comfortably for at least the next 7 through 10 years. Mercy. But you see, that is why the Bible tells us to not be covetous, to not commit the sin of coveting, because it means that you have and you want more and you just keep collecting and collecting and collecting. And there's a thing in NA where it says you can only keep what you have by giving it away. We get to keep the things that we have by giving it away. I get to have joy and laughter and peace by giving out joy, by giving out laughter, by giving out peace, by being peaceful with people. I get to keep my abundance, my abundant bank account, by paying my tithe, by doing my offerings, by offering my time, by volunteering. I get to keep my abundance by serving the people out here, be it going to somewhere and getting like an insane amount of food. Obviously, they know I'm not about to eat all that food I'm about to get. Nonetheless, though, I'm getting it because I'm about to go out here and feed people by starting up a soup kitchen, by doing so many different things. You feel me? Glory be to God. And that way, like, that is how our abundance supplies the lack of others. And there are things that we lack, that we may lack, we will lack, that other people, that God has blessed other people with in surplus, that they are able to come and minister. It is about ministering to one another. We are ministering to one another. No matter what it is that you have, whatever little it is, if I have $5 right now, I can go and get a 4 for 4, right? I can go and get a 4 for 4, and it may not be for me. I can give that out because I have a roof over my head, so I don't even have to worry. I don't really have to worry or ever have to worry about where my next meal is coming from because I have a roof over my head. The Son of Man had no place to lay his head so that we may have shelter. So that we can have shelter. And so, right? And in Hosea 4:6, it talks about how our people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Remember when I said if I were to drop 75K in the hands of someone who had no financial literacy whatsoever, they do not have the knowledge. They don't have the wisdom, the knowledge. And the understanding to be able to properly disperse of these funds in order to create longevity for them to sustain themselves, right? And out of that lack, the funds are squandered. Granted, it's not really truly wasted. Nonetheless, though, it's wasted in the sense that they hadn't had a plan to accumulate more. To accumulate some type of sustenance for themselves, right? And granted, it's not just about us, it's not just about self, it's about everybody else too. And the last verse I'm going to bring up in relation to lack is James. Go with me to James 1, verse 5. And it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Because God does not want to withhold these things from us. He wants us to ask. He is willing and more than able and beyond able to literally, we are blessed, honestly. We are really and truly blessed. If we simply just ask, we will receive. There's unbelievers out there, atheists out there that are blessed. And yeah, they don't even believe in God. They do not believe in God. They counter him and try to debate his existence at every turn, every breath that they have. It's almost as if they live to deny the existence of God. Yet, they cannot attribute the blessings that they have received to their own hard work, quote unquote, to their own doings. But they are simply refusing to acknowledge that the Lord God Almighty is who has granted them all this. This is why it says to ask and we shall receive. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. It means to be liberal means to be like heavy, basically heavy-handed, right? Glory be to God. And we're called to be content because when we are grateful for the things that we have, when we can look at the things that we have and be satisfied and really and truly be satisfied and be like, and honestly and truly say that God, literally, if you don't ever do anything for me, this is more than enough. It is more than enough. I am blessed. I am blessed to truly have all that I have right now. And I'm not just talking about the things that you see physically. I'm talking about the peace that you have within your heart and your mind. I'm talking about your sound mind. Glory, hallelujah. I'm talking about the fact that you do not have to struggle every day when you get up, every day when you open your eyes just to get out of bed, that you do not have to struggle with the idea of going to the bathroom and brushing your teeth, that you do not have to struggle with the idea of not being able to eat, even when you have food. Glory be to God. Your wellness of mind, the wellness of spirit, body, and health, your health, that you do not have to, glory be to God. When you can look and truly say, God, this is more than enough for me, then you realize how so much more blessed you are. Not in comparison, not because that there are other people out there that are struggling unlike you. No, simply because of the fact that you can look at yourself and see that you have these things within you. And you can almost see, God forbid, may we not ever see ourselves without God. But if you have that type of imagination, that you can almost imagine where and what it would be like if you didn't have this. When people say, ooh, glory be to God. When people say, I should have lost my mind and I could have lost my mind, but by the grace of God, I didn't. It's real. Because I personally can testify with that. There are things that happened in my life that I should have. But because God is good and he is great and he is merciful and he is gracious. First, because he loves us. First, because he loves me is the reason why I'm still very much sane today. Right? Glory be to God. I don't want to ever know where I would be. I don't want to ever know what I would be like if it had not been for God. And that's a fact. So, you guys, when it comes to, now, even look at this. There's no such thing as scarcity when God is with you and when you are walking with God. Because if you look back to the time that he sent Moses to free the Israelites from the hands of the Egyptians, and they went through the wilderness, right? They didn't even lack food. Man opened up heaven and rained down manna for them, the bread of heaven. And they had a rock that was gushing out water for them to drink from. So they did not thirst. They did not hunger. They didn't worry about their shoes wearing out, because it didn't. God didn't let it happen. And they didn't worry about their clothes tearing up and wearing out. Do you understand? And so then, let's go ahead real quick, right? Go with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8, verse 9, which says, right? Glory be to God, hallelujah. Actually, let's start from Deuteronomy 8, verse 7, where it says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water. Remember, they had a rock that was gushing out water for them, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And then it goes on to say in verse 10, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. And then it comes with the warning after more. In verse 11, it says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Which is when God had given them the Ten Commandments, right? Given it to Moses. Glory be to God. So this just simply means that as God is blessing you, because your time is now. God's time for you is here. You're ready. It is well. And so as he is blessing you, do not revel and marvel in those blessings and forget where and who the blessings have come from. Because the blessings of God are so bountiful because of how much he loves us, to the point that we are so human that we can get so whisked and carried away. Mercy. That's why in this waiting season, he is pruning you and molding you into such a way that no matter what it is, no matter the amount of blessings that he pours out on you, it will not cause you to be distracted from him and your relationship with him. Mercy. And check this, right? Glory be to God. And the best part is, right, in Romans 11, verse 33, oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decision and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows even to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? Now, this is the part, right? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. Y'all, with this in mind, we have come to the end of this episode. And with that, I'm going to pray us out. Glory be to God. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the blessings, the wisdom, and understanding, Lord. I thank you for your revelations through your word and your confirmation in every season, Lord, that you are with us and that you haven't left, nor will you ever leave or forsake us. Father, Lord, as we go on, Father, Lord, I bind up the spirit of depression and the spirit of lack and the spirit of scarcity, and I release upon us into our lives and into our hearts and minds, Lord, your peace that surpasses all understanding, O Lord God Almighty, and that spirit of contentment, Lord God Almighty, that we may forever be content in all that we have, because all that we have and really truly need is you, Jesus. Help us to stay focused in you and on your kingdom. Help us, Father, Lord, bless us with the wisdom, the knowledge, and the courage, God Almighty, to bring down heaven on earth, Lord, by your will, according to your will, and by your power, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. God be with you. God bless you. Stay a blessing and be blessed always in the Lord. Amen.